Listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7 on Viewpoint with Sita and friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. Actually, it was raining this morning.
It was. People were sliding all over the road. It was like black ice.
It was really terrible. We have an action-packed show today for you right here on WWBC. My in-studio guest is my friend Angie Christman. And Angie's here to represent Hospice of St. Francis.
Hey, good afternoon.
Welcome, Angie. And, of course, Ellen Little is here. Ellen is here, as usual, co-hosting with me, helping me with all the stuff behind the scenes and in front of the scenes as well,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, all kinds of scenes.
Yes.
Full-time scening.
So Angie is here. She is a registered nurse and the manager and community outreach for Hospice of St. Francis. So before we go to that, though, we always do a little bit of kitchen table topics. And two things I had to talk about today with our listeners on WWBC. The first one was we have to send out a prayer this morning. We had quite a few of our people died in Afghanistan today. They said over 130 people died in Afghanistan in 9 days. That's pretty troubling.
It's completely troubling.
Considering we've been at war for over 16 years. Yeah. You would think that the capital, Kabul, is secure by now, but it's not. Mm. And, of course, the Americans have to be very careful as well. Mm. I hope we secure them. I would like more security for them, but...
And I worry about all those contractors that are over there that are not, you know, they're really not military trained to defend themselves. So they're all over there doing, you know, whatever it is they're doing to keep our nation and obviously their nation safe as well. But man, it's so scary. And it's a lot of folks that are right here out of the Cape. So if your family members are the ones that are over there, we're sending prayers and love to
The Taliban and ISIS is taking full responsibility. That's why it's very important when people in leadership talk about other countries and their leaders that we understand we need everybody. It's a global village. So we need every country to sit down with us, and everybody has to work towards peace, prosperity, security, not just for one country, but all. It's a snowballing effect. If one country is not secure, then obviously that's going to trickle down to others as well.
Sure.
Because when you're traveling in airports and you're in public spaces, you don't know who's next to you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have to treat everybody with respect, right, if you want respect back.
Yeah.
You know, because I would say instead of taking money to build like a huge wall, why don't we just sit down with the leaders of all the countries and tell them how to promote peace, education, security, you know, things like that to secure the world instead of looking at it as one place. Right. You know, it's like it's a global thing, right?
Yeah. They still say that less than, you know, or 10% of the people are really using their powers for evil and not for good. Right. So, I mean, we should be able to weed out the 10%. It should be. You know, even though that's an astronomical number, you think about the population of the United States and some of these other countries, 10% is still a pretty big number, but we should still be able to do that because there's 90% of the people that are trying to do good.
Yeah, I think most people wake up every day and they're grateful to be alive.
Yeah.
And they're grateful to be part of this beautiful earth. And it takes a few rotten people here and there hiding behind religion or whatever it is they hide behind. They're just evil.
Yes.
They're just using religion to commit
and we've
bad
got
acts.
The same 10% here.
You know, and
doing
so,
it. So it's
you know,
not just Afghanistan.
I think if we can all wake up every day and ask ourselves, what can I do today to be a better human being than I was yesterday? Or how can I help humanity? You know, like Gandhi says, service to God is service to mankind, right? So, I mean, whether you're involved in industries that build weapons of war, or whether you're involved in religions that, you know, people are saying things they shouldn't be saying. They say, if you hear something, say something. You see something, say something. Mm-hmm. Try to promote goodness. And even that, people are debating, well, what do you consider goodness? Right?
Well, yeah.
People wonder, like,
certainly not killing people. Right. That would be a good start.
Certainly not killing live human beings for no reason.
That would be
just
a great
because
start.
You're hateful.
Yes.
Right? Exactly. So that would be a good start. So anyway, so I heard that on CNN this morning, and I said, wow, 130 people died in 9 days, and you don't really hear much about it.
No.
You know, we're so consumed with other things.
Well, it's even in the United States, too, when we had some of the shootings that we had, we almost got desensitized to it. Like, it happened again.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it didn't have the same emotional effect that it as it did the first time.
It becomes normal. Then the other thing, of course, the Challenger, yesterday was the anniversary.
Right.
Or is it today? I'm not sure.
I think it was yesterday.
Yeah. And so on Facebook, everybody was asking, do you remember where you were when it broke and it blew up in space? And I remember where I was. I was cleaning somebody's house. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, oh my God, with a mop in my hand. I couldn't believe that happened. And my husband said he was in med school. He was watching it with a friend. Where were you? Do you remember?
I do. I was in third or fourth grade, and I was living in Texas, and I was watching it with my dad. We were standing there in front of the TV, and I wasn't sure what had happened.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was here. I mean, I was in Florida when it happened. I was in the other coast, of course. But
how sad, right?
Yeah, it was traumatic.
So,
it was traumatic for a lot of people.
So for our listeners who are tuning in to WWBC AM 1510, the last kitchen table topic we have is, you know, regarding this Larry Nassar. Oh, my gosh, this physician we all watched in horror. Over 100 women and girls shared their stories of abuse at the hands of Dr. Larry Nassar. And, you know, I'm furious to an extent that they weren't believed. They spoke to so many people about him, and it's almost as though it was just brushed aside. And all of a sudden, now you're hearing all the stories of the girls.
And those testimonies are just heartbreaking.
Riveting. Yeah, it was. And so somebody wrote on Facebook, and I was reading it, they said, oh, well, he'll get what's coming to him in jail. But we understand that, but I think the takeaway from this is, to sit down with your children when they're involved in sports, such as gymnastics or swimming or whatever it is, and if they tell you they're uncomfortable about a certain coach or a certain physician or a certain person, someone in authority, for God's sakes, listen to them.
Believe them. What's it going to hurt? I'd rather be overprotective than not do anything at all.
Yeah. You know, because I know when I used to take my kids for checkups, see the pediatricians and stuff, I stood in the room and I watched.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand, you know, people that say, if you're uncomfortable, you know, deal with it. That's just part of the job. Or, I mean, a pelvic exam, for God's sake, for these girls who are having to go through pelvic exams, that anybody would know you don't do some of those things when you're doing a pelvic exam.
Mm-hmm. You always have somebody in the room with you.
Unless you're a gynecologist or something.
But even the gynecologists have a nurse or somebody
where he was putting his hand is not the place you put your hand to check an injury on a hip or a leg.
Right.
According to these girls, you know, so I'm glad that it's over with. And that judge, boy, did she let him have it.
Yes.
She should run for office.
That was awesome.
She just let him have it. So anyway,
I hope the same happens to that California couple that kept their kids, 13 children, like shackled and handcuffed to beds. I mean, awful table topics, kitchen table topics, unfortunately, that we have to have these conversations with people.
Well, actually,
but it is the world.
Exactly. It's not really awful when you think about it. These are things that people should be talking about around their kitchen table with their children.
It's just a shame that this is what we have.
You know, nurses talk about it. We talk about it on our breaks and stuff. You know, the molestation of children, wars, the killing of people in the name of religion all over the world that we see happening. People being greedy and using power and control to control others. All those are things that really and truly, at the end of the day, it does not bring people a lot of happiness. If anything, it's very negative. So anyways, so our guest today is Angie Christman. And Angie is here with Hospice of St. Francis. They've been long-running sponsors of our show, and we appreciate it.
Thank you, Sita.
We do love what you all do. It's such a community feeling what you all are doing.
That's the point.
You know?
That's the point.
So, Angie, tell us a little bit about yourself and Hospice of St. Francis.
Well, I've been with Hospice of St. Francis for 7 years, and like you mentioned earlier, I am a registered nurse. I did admissions for about 5 years, and now I have taken on a new role as the community outreach manager. So what that entails is that I will support my team, and then myself, I'll be out in the community with presentations and education about end-of-life care, and of course, you know, specifically with Hospice of St. Francis.
Yeah, and I like, you know, on your website, it's, you know, it always says uplifting lives, uplifting each other, and uplifting our community. Mm-hmm. That word uplift itself, it's such a positive word, even though someone is leaving our planet. You're there for the family. You're there for the patient till the end, or the resident, however we want to call them. But you do uplift our lives.
Right.
And I've been to events where Hospice of St. Francis have spoken about what they're doing. And it's amazing what you guys are doing. So today we're going to talk about some myths and misconceptions of hospice, generally and specifically with any hospice.
Specifically ours, because we get a few specific questions about Hospice of St. Francis.
Yeah, and you know, I read something this morning as I was preparing for the show. It says, death should not be viewed as a medical failure, but as a natural conclusion to life. I mean, that's powerful, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about what it really means, it's you live your life, your existence here on the planet, and there comes a time when everyone has to leave.
That's right.
Death has no... It doesn't have any boundaries, and it's coming. And so with hospice, it's more like people who are in pain, people who don't want to eat, people who have decided they don't want to have a tube, they don't want to have any more pain and suffering, and that's when hospice comes in. So, Angie, we had a few questions for Hospice of St. Francis, and a lot of them were we put it up on Facebook this morning.
I saw that.
Yeah, and some of the questions were... questions that are pretty easy for you to explain to our listeners.
Sure.
And one of them was, can hospice meet with you the same day the hospice recommendation is made by a physician?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So lead us through the process when someone gets an order for consult.
So anyone can make a referral to hospice. So the neighbor, the spouse, the daughter, the son, anybody can call hospice and say, you know, we're wanting some information. We do have to get an order in order to proceed with the admission for hospice. And that comes from a physician. Nurse practitioners can make the referrals as well. But the order comes from the physician. And then once we get that information, our intake team follows up. They gather a little bit more. We set some time up with the patient and or the family. Find out when's a good time. We can come to the patient's home. And that's wherever the patient calls home. It could be right now. Sometimes it's at the hospital. And we need to go and do an information visit. It could be at a skilled nursing facility, an assisted living, or their own private home.
Right. And for our listeners who are just tuning in, this is Sita Begee. Our show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Ellen Little, my co-host, is here. And my in-studio guest is Angie Christman, RN, Outreach Communication Person for Hospice of St. Francis, and my personal friend as well. I just love when you're here. So Hospice of St. Francis, just to give you a little background info, is Brevard's longest-serving and only independent nonprofit hospice care resource. I like that it's nonprofit.
Yes.
Right? And it was founded in 1977. Hospice of St. Francis continues to meet the community need for higher levels of care, understanding, and compassion for patients nearing the end of their lives. So tell us a little bit. We were going to focus today on some of the myths. So what are some of the myths that you hear people coming up with when you meet with them?
Some of the myths we hear are... Is hospice only for people with cancer? Absolutely not. Hospice is for anyone that has an end stage diagnosis. So this could be an end stage cardiac diagnosis, end stage pulmonary. So any kind of end stage diagnosis.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, like it's almost like out in the community, people who don't know about hospice and don't want to take the time to go on your website. You do have a great website.
Thank you.
And read about some of the things, they would spread this misinformation.
Right.
But it's not only when you're on your deathbed.
Correct.
Right?
You don't have to be imminent.
Right. Hospice is an extension of our hands to help a person when they get to that point in life when they need more comfort, less pain.
Correct. It can be up to the patient and the family. And it could also be the physician saying, you know, we've pulled all the tricks out of the hat. there's really nothing more I can do, and I really just want you to be comfortable. And the family and the patient can come to that agreement as well. So when they do that, it kind of gives them back their, it puts them back in charge of what it is that they want.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. And that's such a big part right there. Right.
So what about before this? And I know you've been on the show before, and mm-hmm. we talked a little bit about pathways.
Yes.
So do you want to talk a little bit about that? Like, so we can start preparing for these kind of, because these are tough conversations once you're middle of it.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and they're much easier to have when you're healthier.
Right. And like we were talking about death is scary. It's unknown. You know, we have some recounts of it and books and stories and people that have, you know, seen the other side and come back to tell us. But for the most part, it's scary. So nobody really wants to talk about it. They don't want to talk about advanced directives, their living will, a do not resuscitate order, those kinds of things. So it's really nice to have, we have a palliative program. It's called St. Francis Pathways to Healthcare. And we just kind of refer to it as Pathways. And it's our palliative care program. It's it's a lot smaller than Hospice of St. Francis as far as it's just a nurse practitioner that comes out. She correlates her care with the patient's care and the primary physician's care and any of the specialties. But it is that kind of door that gets open and they start talking about what is it that you would like to have, you know, symptom management, pain management.
Kind of like having a friend.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Somebody that you could call when you have questions, because you know something is coming. It's pretty soon something's going to happen, mm-hmm. but it's not there yet. Not
right, and
imminent.
They can
yeah.
still be aggressive about their care, their treatment, as far as if it's a newly diagnosed cancer patient. You don't know what's in store, but yet you still need to get your pain under control or the nausea and vomiting under control. Pathways can come in and be that extra layer, as Andy likes to say, that extra layer in
it's
there.
It's all preparation. Mm-hmm. It's all preparation for mm-hmm. what's to come.
Right.
Right. But that's good because, you know, we've seen, you know, we see a lot of the high-profile movie stars and stuff. They go on hospice, and then people would put it, it'll be on CNN, so-and-so is on hospice. Like, was it Steve Jobs? He was on hospice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the community learns. That's how people learn about hospice. And don't be afraid of it. You know, it's not something to be afraid of. It's something for you to embrace and learn from it.
Well, 40 years ago when it started here in Brevard County and, you know, further back when it started actually over in England, it was the last couple weeks of life. You know, the woman that started our program, Emily Sasko, is a nurse, and she was seeing these patients being discharged from the hospital, and they had no care at home. There was nothing more the hospital could do for them, so they couldn't keep them, so they would send them home, and they were being sent home with no symptom management, and they needed someone to help them.
And they died alone.
Yes.
I mean, that's the nice thing about hospice is that if you're in the Pathways program with Hospice of St. Francis or you're admitted to the program, you have an option. You don't have to die alone. Someone can be holding your hand.
Yes, we have a great volunteer base for that, absolutely.
Yeah. And so what are some of the services offered by Hospice of St. Francis?
Well, we have a 12-bed patient in IPU, or inpatient unit. It's in Titusville. We do serve the entire county. There's another myth right there that we are just the Titusville hospice. That is incorrect. We serve the entire county from Mims to Meeko. I know because I ran the roads doing the admissions. and we go to where, like I said earlier, wherever the patient calls home. So skilled nursing facilities, assisted livings, their own private homes. We have a North Star program for grieving children, and you don't necessarily have to be directly, the child doesn't necessarily have to be directly involved with Hospice of St. Francis, like their mom or you know, family member didn't have to have participated in our services. It's for the entire community.
I wonder how that myth got spread, how it was spread, that Hospice of St. Francis is only a Titusville-based hospice. Because as a nurse, I know that's not mm-hmm. true. You guys go all the way to Vero if you have to, be, right? Melbourne?
Palm Bay. Barefoot Bay.
Yeah, you do.
There's a couple streets that are still
so how down. Can we help on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, other than having you on the show, how can we help bust that myth? Because we want to take a hammer and bust it.
Right,
right? Exactly.
You know, because we just by talking to people.
Well, yeah, it's word of mouth. I mean, that's the best advertisement right there because that means it's coming from a trusting, genuine source. When somebody has had good services and they want to make sure that other people have that same type of service, that's absolutely it. I mean, we're also doing our part. We have advertising going on throughout the county. We do focus most of our efforts into the central and south end of the county. But it is important. I mean, we did start in Titusville, and so I think that that's where that comes from.
Yeah.
You know, we've been there for 40 years, but we have, I mean, I've been with the company for 7 years, and the south, we have grown the south end of the county almost by 50%. So we have a huge footprint down there, and we want to continue with that.
Yeah, and your website is pretty clear that Hospice of St. Francis is not only for Titusville.
Right.
It's for Melbourne, up to Barefoot Bay, mm-hmm. even Sebastian if you have to. And you guys do, you go to homes, and you also yes. go to the hospital, and you also go to nursing facilities and assisted living as well.
Yes, yes.
Right. So tell our listeners, like, what does the intake program involve for a hospice, for a patient who's looking at being admitted into Hospice of St. Francis?
They would give us a call, and we would sit down with them over the phone and get some information, find out what their goals are and what they're looking for, any kind of contact information. And, you know, an admission nurse would come out. Sometimes it's just an info visit. They don't have to sign any paperwork ever. This is completely up to the patient and family. We do need a doctor's order in order to proceed with an admission. But like you had said before, you know, it can all happen in one day, which is really nice. But we usually have a within 24 to less than 24-hour turnaround time.
And what is the phone number and the website? Because before we go to break, maybe our listeners can check out the website. And it's really a beautiful website, and it outlines all the services. It has calendar events. It talks about the North Star program, mm-hmm. grief support, volunteers. It really talks about, and when we come back from our break, we want to talk a little bit about Hospice of St. Francis also honors veterans.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool for us here on the Space Coast. We have so many veterans mm-hmm. and so many of our friends and family who are serving, and they need that love and attention. So what's the website or and the phone number for people
to call? The phone number is 321-269-4240. And then the website is hospiceofstfrancis.com.
It's such an easy number to remember.
And it is a beautiful website. Just one more. I did get a chance to kind of look around and poke around.
Thank
is there
you.
A download that I did want to ask you? What's that five choices or five?
Five wishes.
Five wishes. Is that downloadable somewhere on your website?
If it's not on our website, it is on a generalized website. I'll have to look at the back of one of those.
Okay.
But there is yeah. one where you can go and download that. And that's a great tool to have. It's basically a very detailed living will.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're planning for those things, if you're planning for your retirement, five wishes should certainly be part of that as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the nice things about Hospice of St. Francis is you'll have your chaplain.
Yes.
And you have people that would
you
come.
Love our chaplains.
I do. I love them. They are so honest with the patients, and they have so much compassion. And they literally sit there and hold their hand and talk to the family. And they offer such great counseling as well. For us, for the nursing staff too. So now, and you, Hospice of St. Francis, send people of all different faiths and backgrounds from all walks of life
correct,
as well.
Correct. St. Francis of Assisi was what we were named after. And yes, it is a Catholic saint, and it is the patron saint of animals, but it is also the saint that was there to comfort the dying. So that's where that came from.
Why do you think people are so...
That's my confirmation name, by the way.
Oh, for
really? Just so we know. Just so we're aware.
Yeah. Well, you know, our show is unscripted. You could jump right in
I
and
did.
Say that. That's
I
fine.
Did.
That's wonderful.
I did.
With the remaining minute left, why do you think people are so afraid of dying in the natural way? I mean, there should not be. Really. But why? I mean, is it because it's a cultural thing?
I think that's part of it. I think, too, you know, being in the medical field, we go to school to learn to fix people. And cure people.
And give them IVs for 6 weeks to clear up an infection.
Oh, yeah. Let's put a tube in their belly. Let's put a tube down their throat. Let's make them breathe. Let's, you know, help them eat. But there is a natural process, and we fight it. You know, I think it's our own human instinct to want our mom and dad to live here longer. But you really have to focus on quality of life. That's the biggest thing you need to take away from hospice.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of people don't focus on quality of life. They want to focus on the quantity.
Right.
And you could live to be 100 and you still have all your faculties. But that's sort of rare sometimes.
Right.
Because sometimes you have the mind, but the body's not there. And
right.
sometimes you have the body, but the mind is not there. And really, that's torture for someone. Imagine a patient waking up and remembering a fire when he was a child.
Right.
And he's screaming out, fire, fire, and he's anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't move. But he's remembering this. I mean,
right.
all these things, you know, we have to look at it with the death and dying process.
Yes.
What are we doing? Because then you go in and you give this patient a pill to calm him down, but you really haven't calmed the demons that's in his head.
Right. There's so much more to the patient.
Yeah, so I don't know, sometimes, you know, we consult with so many different physicians for all different systems in the body from head to toe, but sometimes I would just like them to be a human and ask themselves, what are you really doing for this patient? Are you focusing on the quality of their life, or are you just giving them a pill for something that's going wrong with their system?
Because need to holistically look at the patient.
Right, because sometimes you want a physician to actually sit down with a patient and do a med review.
Right.
Because as a nurse, sometimes, you know, you see a patient on 3 and 4 blood pressure medications, or you see them on Prozac, or you see them on something to help their mental health, but it's not helping the other systems.
Or it's creating other problems.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Angie Christman with Hospice of St. Francis. And I think our producer Paul is signaling to us we're going to go on a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars.
Cloud9 Sleep Shop in the Merritt Square Mall has expanded to meet the growing needs of the community and customers. Cloud9 Sleep Shop now has a 10,000 square foot showroom with a wider variety of choices for customers to shop for bedroom, living room, and dining room furniture from nationally recognized brands such as Ashley Furniture. Cloud9 Sleep Shop also carries memory foam mattresses from Serta, Ashley Sleep, Enso, and many more. Cloud9 has furniture to meet the needs of budget-minded customers with quality furniture. Cloud9 Sleep Shop is a family-owned business that understands the needs of growing families. Furnish your home with one-stop shopping from Cloud9 Sleep Shop. Cloud9 Sleep Shop, centrally located in Brevard at the Merritt Square Mall. For more information, go to their website at cloud9sleepshop.com.
When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MEDFAST Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000, 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in
sort of rainy Cocoa, Florida, on WWBC AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We have Angie Christman in our studio today with Hospice of St. Francis, and of course, my right hand, Ellen Little. And Pastor Paul, you know what? Your voice sounds really good on those ads.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm truly impressed.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank you.
Really nice. Thank you.
I'm enjoying your program
today.
Yeah,
thank you for
running
home
to me with what you all are talking about today.
Yeah, I know you said you had a loved one that was on hospice.
Yeah, my wife.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm sorry about that. I understand. I certainly do. So today we're talking about how to bust some of the myths and misconceptions about hospice. And one of them that Angie said was that some people think that Hospice of St. Francis is only in Titusville.
Right.
And we're out to bust that one.
Yes, absolutely.
And the one before that was that people only put their loved ones on hospice when death is imminent.
Right.
And that's not true.
Right.
We've got programs prior to that where you could make use of hospice and their counseling and love and compassion way before that.
We do have the Pathways program that is prior to hospice. But hospice itself doesn't mean the last couple weeks of life. It doesn't mean the patient has to be taking their dying breaths either.
Yes. So do we ever have people that question themselves at the end of life and put somebody in hospice and then they're struggling with, should I take them off? Because guilt, there's a lot of guilt associated with putting someone on hospice for people who don't know.
Absolutely. Right? What ifs? What if? Can we try one more thing? You know, I'll see where patients or families will want that patient skilled for a little bit longer. You know, let's bring in this therapy. Let's try one more type of chemotherapy or immunotherapy. And, you know, just one more thing. I mean, I get it. It's our human instinct, like we talked earlier, to want to bring them.
To save, to fix.
To keep them here longer.
To fix them, yeah.
Right, to fix them.
And so in a case like that, you can take somebody off of hospice and say, listen, okay, if this is your choice, it's a choice.
Right.
And
Absolutely. You
can have them try just one more time, just
they
for peace
can.
Of mind, just
they
for
can.
Peace of mind.
Right.
I've seen people who say, just for peace of mind, I want to do one more thing. And hospice has gone along with it sometimes.
Sometimes. You know, it is every plan of care is individual to the patient. So it really depends on what's best for the patient and what's going to benefit them the most. You know, if we're really sitting down and we're really trying to get that pain under control and nausea and vomiting, we're very honest. Do you really want to put them in a predicament where it's going to get worse? So, you know, we really sit down with the families and, you know, weigh the pros and cons.
Yes. And for our listeners who are tuning in, just want to throw some things out there about Hospice of St. Francis. Hospice of St. Francis is using a team approach to provide patients and their loved ones with physical, emotional, and spiritual care as they face life's ultimate challenge. So tell us a little bit about the chaplains at Hospice of St. Francis.
Well, we have chaplains that focus on facilities and some that focus on private homes, but they are there for the patient. So even though we have St. Francis in our name, it doesn't mean that we're Catholic-based, we're non-denominational. We can pull in any walks of faith. So if we need to pull in anybody from a temple or anything along those lines, we have connections throughout the entire county, and we can do that. And yes, we do get those kind of deathbed at the end of life questions and, you know, challenging their own faith and spirituality, and now they feel like they need to talk, and absolutely we'll pull that in.
Right. And everybody, every patient has a different plan of care.
Yes.
You develop a plan of care.
Yes.
To fit that patient.
Absolutely.
So, and what is the philosophy of care? It's services and comfort levels and expectations.
It's signs and symptoms. It's, you know, it's getting that under control. It's about it's focusing on quality of life. What the patient wants, what's going to make them feel better.
And what about the support for medication and equipment? I know not all the equipment, but there are certain things that Hospice of St. Francis can provide for a patient.
Correct. Under the Medicare guidelines, Medicare has recognized hospice and does pay for certain equipment. So a lot of it's the basic. But like I said, it is individual and per each patient and their plan of care. We can bring in hospital beds, wheelchairs, walkers, bedside commodes, anything that's going to help with the patient's quality of life.
Right. And the plan is reviewed at each visit to make any revisions based on patient or family needs. And you also have a lot of volunteer support.
Yes.
If someone is listening and they wanted to volunteer with Hospice of St. Francis, what would be the best number to call?
The best number to call is 321-269-4240. Tell the receptionist that you were interested in volunteer opportunities. We do run a volunteer training course. If it's not every month, every other month, just depending on how many volunteers we have that are interested. And we cover the entire county. We have, the great thing with the volunteers is we actually have a one-to-one ratio with our volunteer and staff. So wow. We have about 200 staff and we have about 200 volunteers.
Yeah, there are a lot of cool people in Brevard County that are retired and they do want to give back. And I think once they get into Hospice of St. Francis and they become a member of the team, they become a team member,
right.
They don't leave.
No.
Even if they do 1 hour a month, but they stick around.
They do.
They enjoy giving back.
They love it. And we have so many different jobs. You can be holding the hand of a dying patient. You could be doing, you can be filing paperwork. It's where you fit and where you're comfortable. We actually have volunteers that have four legs and tails.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
so that's also real important too.
Yeah, the one nice thing about the Hospice of St. Francis team is as patients are nearing the end of life, their families find comfort and benefit from Hospice of St. Francis because it's so care-focused. And you also have nursing assistants, you have RNs, you have physicians on staff. Tell us a little bit about some of the staff members, and each person has a role.
Absolutely. When the patient comes onto Hospice of St. Francis, they have a team that's assigned to them. So they have their own registered nurse, their own CNA or home health aide, their own physician. We have full-time physicians that work for just us. And then we also have chaplains that are designated just to that team. They can even have a designated volunteer that can come and sit with the patient. We have a social worker as well. So they have this team approach, this team of people that will come and focus on the patient. And we know that along with the patient comes the family. So and there's so many dynamics and so much support and love that the families needed that we address as well.
Yeah. I know creating a plan, it can be challenging, I would think.
Yes.
But Hospice of St. Francis, you guys don't look at caring for the resident or the patient as a job. You see it more as a responsibility, a privilege. It's an act of love.
Mm-hmm.
It's an honor. It's an act of love.
Yes.
To take care of someone and dedicate yourselves to this service. Where do you find such great team members?
I truly believe in my heart it's a calling. It's a calling to be a hospice nurse, a home health aide, social worker, even administration. This isn't something you just take on for a paycheck by any means. This is something you feel drawn to. For the most part, the majority of our staff, there's a reason they came to hospice. They have a personal reason. Whether they had someone on hospice, it was a good friend, a family member, they've had a death, they feel like they need to give back. I know I went into nursing because my son passed away, and so I went into pediatrics. But I felt this calling to come towards hospice. And I feel that what I've gone through in my life can be helpful to other people, and I can relate, and it's genuine.
Yeah. And you know, Ellen, their mission is really wonderful, uplifting lives, uplifting each other and the community. And they also have such a beautiful vision, the vision of compassionately serving the community by empowering people to live life to its fullest.
Right. Right. We're not focusing on death.
Yeah.
There's so much more to hospice than that.
That's another myth.
Yes.
That's a myth. So that's myth number three. Are we keeping score,
like
Ellen?
25.
So,
that's right,
so
yeah.
Far, that's our third myth, that,
that's right.
That hospice is focusing on death, but it's not. It's really focused in on how to live life to its fullest until that one moment when God takes you home.
Right. We want to help with that dash.
Yes.
We talked about
a
few shows before.
Yeah.
That dash.
Yeah. And it's so important to talk about the dash because not everybody has the same dash. Mm-hmm. Not everybody was born for the same thing.
Right.
Some people's lives are so fulfilled with doing some things and others doing something else. But at the end of life, you do look back and say, what have I done?
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have, you're doing a lot for veterans. So talk a little bit about the veterans. And we know what their dash is about.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. At least a big portion of their dash.
Yes,
absolutely.
There's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
So hospice has a program, all hospices have a program that they can join and be a part of, and it's called We Honor Veterans. And what it is a program that we go out and we promote and we help veterans with that last part of their dash because they die differently. They have different circumstances. They have different things that come to light, and we want to be there for them. So what's really amazing is that there's a star level, kind of like a general. You know, you've got the five stars. Well, we're actually at the third star. So they're 3 out of 4 stars. And that's the biggest accomplishment. We have the highest ranking of any veterans programs in the county with the hospices.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And their core values, you know, you guys guide your action in service and to loved ones. Your values are reflected in the way you take care of people.
Yes.
And that's what I love about Hospice of St. Francis. So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're talking to Angie Christman, who is the outreach coordinator for Hospice of St. Francis. And we're just going through some of the their mission statement, what Hospice of St. Francis stands for. And they do compassionately serve our community all the way from Titusville to Melbourne and other places as well.
Beyond.
And beyond. And beyond. And Hospice of St. Francis are able to work in the hospitals, assisted living, nursing homes, in your homes.
Yes.
And we're talking about what they're doing for veterans as well. And I like that it says Hospice of St. Francis core values guide us in our actions in service to our patients and their loved ones. Our values are reflected in what we say and what we do. Boy, a lot of us have to be careful what we say.
Yeah.
I mean, words do matter, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be that you're careful only what you're saying when somebody's dying. You should be careful what you're saying when people are alive as well.
Yes.
Because words do matter.
Yes.
And it can hurt, you know?
One of the things I found fascinating on the website, and as well, I think we talked about it last time you were on as well, was the commitment that you have to people's pets.
Oh, yes, our pet program.
The pet program was just, you know, because again, that's a big deal for people, especially when they're alone and they have a pet that they've loved and taken care of for so long. Now what happens to my pet? So tell our listeners a little bit about this, that program as well.
So they have to be directly related, so it is a patient that's with us. And of course, you know, a lot of the times that's the last thing they don't want to leave. They don't want to leave this earth because they want to make sure the dog or the cat or the birds are taken care of, and they've got nobody to be able to do that. We make a promise to our patients that we will find and make sure that they are going to be cared for. Usually when that happens, it doesn't get past the staff. So I've seen many staff dogs. I know a lady that's picked up a couple cats and birds and, you know, just within our staffing. But what this means is that we partner with Friends of Animal Sanctuary, and we make sure that the animal is going to be taken care of. We actually provide, you know, financial backing as far as food, veterinary bills, those kinds of things. And they can live out their life either at the Friends of Animal Sanctuary, but for the most part, we get them fostered or adopted out.
Yeah, that's really, I mean, my husband loves animals, and he has all his cats and birds and pigeons and chickens and everything. I think about that sometime. What am I going to do with all these cats, you know? Mm-hmm. So, Angie, tell our listeners, how long is the admission process? How long does it actually take to admit a patient to hospice?
Physically, once the admission nurse comes out, it can be anywhere from an hour to 2 hours. There's a lot to go over, you know, and it's a lot to take in for the families. I know because I did it. And it's overwhelming just to kind of sit down and go over all of the benefits of hospice because people don't realize.
Yeah, and of course, people always have that one concern, how do I pay for this?
Right.
That's a big thing.
That's a huge thing.
Yeah.
Hospice of St. Francis, just to start with, since we are not-for-profit, the money that we get comes back into our organization, and we use it to support the community and many of our different programs that we use. But some of it actually goes in to take care of patients that don't have the financial means. They don't have insurance, that kind of thing. Most insurances do have a hospice policy, and then, of course, Medicare has 100%. Medicare A has 100% covered Medicare hospice benefit.
Sometimes I feel like we need, you know, like you hear always, I mean, which insurance do you have, right? And sometimes I wake up and I feel like, gosh, are we ever going to live in a world where we don't have to say to someone, which insurance do you have?
Right, because that depends on what path you're going.
You know, like even when you're well, when you're alive and you're not on hospice, I always wonder, you know, like you hear all these different countries all over the world that has socialized medicine.
Right.
And they talk about the happiness, the factor in a lot of these people's lives. And oftentimes it's because it's such a community effect when someone is paying out of their paycheck so that their neighbor could have insurance. They pay a little bit more, but the society seems to be more one of caring and more compassionate and more loving mm-hmm. towards each other. But unfortunately, while we still have that, it is something you have to ask someone, insurance do you have?
Right.
Because that makes a big difference in how their care is going to be rendered.
It is in most places, but not with Hospice of St. Francis. We take anybody regardless of their ability to pay.
And that's one of the nice things about Hospice of St. Francis, is that they do care, and it's such a compassionate team, playing members there, that they don't ask that question, which is good.
Yep. Well, and we want to make sure we go back to our core. Who started us? Why did we start? Who built us? You know, this community has built and supported and loved us for over 40 years. We want to be able to give back. And we have an amazing bereavement group that covers the entire county. We do special luncheons and gatherings and support groups, and, you know, focused on certain age groups and, you know, loss of spouses, loss of children. It's so important to be able to give back to the community and be there to support them even after the loss.
Yeah, the other thing too, you know, there's so many hospices around. Not there's, you know, a few more. But with Hospice of St. Francis, and you know, our show is fun and it's unscripted and it's informative, and Ellen and I give invaluable information. But I think people need to look at the hospices and speak with somebody before they decide which one to go with.
Always.
Because not all of them are nonprofit. And when one is nonprofit, you can feel the difference that this hospice actually cares about what they're bringing in and what they're giving back. Because Hospice of St. Francis also partners with a few businesses as well. Do you guys have businesses that partner with you? Your gala, you had a lot of sponsors for the gala.
Right.
Yeah.
We do work with local businesses. We like to keep it local because that's how we were built. We do have relationships with all of the hospitals in the community, throughout the community.
Yeah, and because you guys, I mean, you have to pay for the equipment. You have to pay for the home health aides. You have to pay for the RNs. You have to pay for the services. So in order to pay for all those services, is it just you have Medicaid? Does Medicaid cover hospice
Medicaid
services?
Medicaid does have a hospice benefit.
So Medicaid, Medicare, insurances, and private.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Wow. You know, providing nursing care is not cheap.
No.
Whether you're in hospice or not, it is not.
Right.
I mean, this 24-hour care that we all want for our loved ones and ourselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of us have long-term care insurance, and you do take that as well.
Well, that's more for the nursing home.
Okay.
So, but as far as all the details like that, I will always put that off to our intake team and our Medicare and Medicaid specialists that we do have in-house that can always sit down and talk with people about that.
And so tell our listeners a little bit about palliative care. A lot of people don't understand the difference with palliative care versus full-blown end-of-life hospice care. Yeah.
So palliative care is looked at as also signs. It's also managing signs and symptoms. So symptom management, pain, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, constipation, depression. Hospice does the same thing, but with the palliative care, it's usually in conjunction with other treatments that are going on. They haven't necessarily said, you know, I'm not going forward with any more chemo or dialysis or, you know, I'm not going to have that surgery. They're usually continuing with those things. So this is in conjunction with those. So the palliative care is in conjunction. And it's just managing signs and symptoms and keeping the patient comfortable throughout the process. When you come to hospice, that decision's been made that you're not going to go forward with those aggressive treatments and therapies.
So, and I know, I noticed also on your website, you just, wealth of information on that website.
Yeah,
you
have
you have national training, a national training program for caregivers.
Yes,
as
we
well.
Do. Uh-huh.
So, I mean, even if it was, God forbid, but, you know, obviously it can happen that I had to care for a family member. Is this great training for that? Or is this specifically for hospice care?
No, it's caregiver training. So it's not necessarily patients or families that have patients on hospice. It's just caregiver training. There's so much to it, especially if you're doing it 24/7 and you're the one in the home and you're cleaning them up and giving them baths, and there's so much stress and anxiety that go along with it. And to find out that you're not the only one out there is extremely important. How to handle certain situations, what these kinds of symptoms mean or signs mean. This caregiving class is something that we offer through Hospice of St. Francis. We have it at different locations throughout the county, so we can try to hit everybody. I mean, we go from Cocoa Beach to Melbourne, Palm Bay, back up to Titusville. We kind of try to disperse it out throughout the county.
And it looks like there's 6 classes?
Yes.
All in total? So
they're about an hour and a half classes twice a week, and it's a nurse, or sometimes it might be a social worker that's conducting the class, and then we'll pull in appropriate speakers for those. And what's really nice is we only take about 15 people because
there's storytelling.
Well, there's that. Yeah. And then, you know, the nurse or the social worker that's conducting the meeting, they want to really be able to focus on that caregiver's situation.
And listen.
Right.
One of the most important thing about hospice is the listening factor.
Yes, yes.
Which sometimes that's all a family member or a person who's dying just wants you to listen. And they want to offload a little bit.
Oh.
Some people have some things on their chest. I remember once one of our patients who was in the death and dying process, and nobody knew that she had a child who died at the age of 12. And she just held onto my hand and she said, I am going to be with my son. And I said, I didn't know you had a son. And she said, yeah, he was hit by a truck, a garbage truck in the front of her home. And he died when he was 12 years old. And so I just gave her a hug and I thought, oh my God, you know, but nobody knew that before, you know.
They want to listen. When they finally get somebody in front of them, you know, the admission nurses, they have to set aside a little bit of time with them because for once you've got somebody that's just solely focusing on the patient and the family and the situation at hand. It's not the doctor that has to be in and out of there. You know, they're not double booked, that kind of thing. You actually have somebody that's going to sit there and listen. It's that active listening. Absolutely.
So for our listeners who are tuning in to WWBC AM 1510, we're speaking with the community outreach, director. I just have community outreach.
Manager, yeah.
Director, Angie Christman. And Angie's a registered nurse who works with Hospice of St. Francis. And we're just talking about some of the myths associated with hospice. And we're just telling our listeners a little bit about all the services that are offered by Hospice of St. Francis and the philosophy of care and services, the comfort levels, expectations, advanced directives, patient support system, medication and equipment needs, and financial and insurance resources. And so Angie will give us the website and phone number one more time for Hospice of St. Francis in case any of our listeners or their loved ones have any questions and would like to reach out.
Absolutely. So you can give us a call for any questions that you have about hospice. If you would like to volunteer, if you'd like to look into our bereavement services, the phone number is 321-269-4240, or go check us out online at hospiceofstfrancis.com.
And some other services and programs offered by Hospice of St. Francis that will meet the needs of our patients and their families. I say our being a nurse. I like to say our families and patients. It's care-centered. They give caregiver information and education, grief support, the North Star program for children, volunteer services, and they honor the veterans. So tell us a little bit about the grief support for children. Because that's a tough one.
It is a tough one because kids definitely grieve differently. They have an excellent program where they incorporate play and art. It's a group setting, so the kids know that they're not by themselves. And, you know, I'm not the only one that's lost a father or lost a grandmother, especially if they're living all in the same house. They have this support.
Yeah. I wonder sometimes if death and dying is cultural. And I know our show is unscripted, right? So we're not reading off a script for our listeners who are tuning in. We're just regular people who want to make a difference on God's planet, right? And so we come together every Monday on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. That's the name of our show. Ellen Little shows up. She's such a wonderful friend and helps me with the show. And she's my co-host. And we talk about all these things as women, as friends, as nurses, and death and dying is something that people are afraid of, but I know as a child, I saw funerals. Mm-hmm. We were allowed to view the dead person, and talk about it with our families. But for some reason in the United States, it's something that a lot of people just can't talk about it with their live loved ones. Why do you think so?
It's scary. You don't want to hurt anybody else's feelings. You know, I know a lot of families that will pull it away from the children, so the children don't really know what's going on, and that's not fair to them because they have questions and they want answers and they want to understand what's going on. It's the same thing with adults. You know, you go through the death and all of a sudden everybody that was there before, they're not there anymore, and you just want that love and support.
Or everyone's crying around them and they don't know why.
Well,
why
you know, is everyone and so what sad? I try to say to my friends and family and people that I meet, and I meet a lot of awesome people, and I always try to give them a positive vibes coming from me, you know, is the hospital waiting room is not the place for you to discuss your end of life decisions. The ICU, where you're hooked up to all these various tubes, from feeding tubes to intubation and whatever is going on, These are things that people should discuss with mom and dad when they're alive and well.
Right.
What is a DNR? What do you expect from life? If you should stop eating and your body is given up, what do you expect? So do you ever see people who have not discussed this at all? And now at the end, they're coming to hospice and you have to kind of like scramble because it is challenging.
Absolutely. I've signed DNRs on admissions. And, you know, it's starting that conversation. It is a scary conversation to have. But once the elephant's out, you can kind of start to nibble on it a little bit, you know, and take it piece by piece. But you really got to get it out there. And, it's scary. Nobody wants to talk about that. But it is so important to do it while you can make those decisions. And make sure that those around you are aware that these are the decisions that you've made and you want them to uphold them.
Right.
The five wishes is a great way to start that because it is such an easier document. And for me, it was like planning a party. You know, I was thinking about it, like how I was planning,
Do you want lotion rubbed on your feet? Right. What kind of music do you want?
Well, it's like when you go,
Like
when you attend a service for someone and it's a celebration of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll say, well, this person planted herself or himself before they passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because it is a celebration of life. So what is the
best? I hope
best?
Paul McCartney's still alive because he's in there.
Yeah. So what would you say, Angie? You've been with hospice for a long time. How would you say tell our listeners on WWBC to start that conversation with their loved ones? Do you just bring it up at a Thanksgiving? Because I find that if you go to a funeral, that sometimes when you go home, you can bring up that conversation. Or sometimes you go to a wedding and you could bring up the conversation about love and compassion and caring for your loved ones at home. And it makes your marriage stronger.
Right.
So sometimes we attend these events, whether it's a funeral or a wedding or a birthday party. But it gives you an idea of what to talk about when you go home.
Right. So that door's open.
Right.
So now you can really open it up and say, hey, you know, when, you know, the neighbor died or grandma died, you know, these are things that we really need to get into play. And these are the things that I really want. And especially if they've been the one to witness what's happened to the loved one. And maybe their wishes weren't fulfilled or maybe they didn't have those. Sometimes it does take that. But sitting down saying, hey, let's have a family dinner one Sunday afternoon. And, you know, this is what's going to be discussed. You don't have to tell them beforehand because it might kind of.
Or even organ donation. A lot of families don't talk about donating their organs, which we'll have to do a show about that one day. You know what I always find too? Like people who sell insurance, they talk about life insurance. And everybody signs up for the life insurance and have a physical. But really and truly, you should take it one step further and talk about a DNR and talk about end-of-life issues.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be that you just paid a premium and you have life insurance. Talk about life itself and how precious it is. And what do you expect from life if the time comes that you're no longer able to make decisions for yourself?
Right.
You know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, again, this is, you know, I always like when Hospice of St. Francis come on because you guys do such a wonderful job in the community of providing such compassionate care for
all of us.
And we'd like to have you back again.
Always.
And I know Ellen is ready to say her speech about... We do put it on our website.
We do. It's on our website and also on iTunes. So thank you all so much for all the support over the last 6 years. You've been listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here on 1510 WWBC. And we will be back next week with another great guest.